Let's kick things off. I haven't even introduced myself. Welcome to Film and Theology's Monthly Movies. I'm James, one of the pastors here at Mars Hill Church. And tonight we're looking at Serenity, which is a film written and directed by Joss Whedon. How many people familiar with Joss Whedon? A few. I'll let a few of you in on the deep, dark secrets. He really comes onto the scene as a director with a film back in the 90s called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. A film that got very, very mixed reviews, and then he actually moved then and surfaces later. He shows up and starts a TV series of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is actually received with far more acclaim and lasts for 7 years. Some of us think about 4 years longer than it should have, but he received a greater acclaim, and he subsequently has worked on other films you would know. He's written portions of the screenplay with the team of a little film called Toy Story. He also wrote something we try to forget called Alien Resurrection. So Joss Whedon has been around. He has a spin-off show from Buffy the Vampire Slayer called Angel. When Angel ended, he actually then decided to make a television show and kind of try to change his style, change things up a little bit, and he came out with something called Firefly. Firefly was sort of the reverse of Buffy. Instead of having a sort of failed film that then becomes a very successful TV series, we actually had a failed series. It only lasted 14 episodes or so. But there was so much cult acclaim, so many rabid fans for this series, that it actually generated enough interest that Hollywood greenlit a feature film. So here we have a failed series to a fairly successful film. Considering its budget was only between $30-40 million, it's actually pretty amazing. In fact, when you watch this film, think about all of that disappointment from those new Star Wars films and see how with, you know, one quarter the money, something more enjoyable was achieved. So we're going to have some fun with this tonight. Now, it's not necessarily a deep film, but at the same time, you're going to find that it does probe some very interesting themes. And although I really do believe Joss Whedon as a director has stretched himself stylistically, it's very different from the first Buffy the Vampire Slayer, to be certain, there are some similar themes that seem to emerge in almost all of his work. So as you watch the film tonight, maybe just be looking for a few of these things. One thing that seems to recur in Joss Whedon's work is something that he really has a passion for, and it's what he calls made families. I'll explain that. A made family is not a family that's, you know, born of blood, family tree, mother, daughter. It's like people who have been forced together through circumstance, through something terrible happening, through a shared mission, through similar loss. People that have been pushed together into a circumstance where now they have to become family. They bond. And so they're not united by blood, but they're united by either their mission or they're united by the fact that they're being oppressed by the same forces. He really definitely has a passion for that. And I think that really resonates well why he's tapping into that. Those are probably personal reasons with Joss, why he's enamored with that idea. But I think it resonates a lot with all of us in some ways, with a lot of us. A lot of us in this room, don't raise your hands, don't like our families. You know, I know a lot of people, divorce, strife, struggle, broken homes, all sorts of experiences that you may have grown up with, and so you actually find the people you call family aren't necessarily the people that you are bound together by blood and genetics. It's a very common theme that Joss explores, and we actually see that in the film Serenity. Also, a theme of redemption, that characters, for one reason or another, are seeking a form of personal redemption from something that's occurred, or seeking to redeem something or someone. In fact, when his show Angel ended, he was actually quoted in TV Guide. He was asked why he ended the show really with no conclusion. And his answer was that the TV show Angel was always about, it had always been about redemption. And according to Joss, he feels redemption is ongoing. Redemption is something that never ends. It's something that is ongoing. So, you know, even though he's making a cheesy show about a vampire, he's actually thinking through themes of redemption and family as he's crafting these stories. And particularly tonight, we're going to deal with belief. People being passionately devoted to a belief, or actually having lost their way, but wrestling with issues of belief and what it means to have belief in something. We're going to see all those in the film tonight. So let's pray and get started. Without further ado, let's enjoy Joss Whedon's Serenity. Father God, I just thank you so much that we have the luxury. God, we live in an amazing age. You've put us in an amazing place where we can gather together and just relax and enjoy something, take in something, an amazing vision by a creator using technologies that just one generation ago people didn't even fathom, God. I pray that we never take the enjoyment that we can glean from film for granted, that is something that you have given to us with our ingenuity, with everything that we explore, with the creativity that manifests as we have computer-generated images, as we have all these things that we enjoy. I pray that we won't take those for granted. Pray that we won't also take for granted the place where you have put us, as even today, few people in the world have the luxury to just join together in a public place and enjoy themselves and kill an evening together, God. I pray that as we enjoy this time together, I pray that you'll keep our eyes open, that we look for themes in the film and perhaps learn a little bit about why we enjoy certain genres or certain stories or certain conflicts and tensions that characters and narrative go through as it applies to our lives and also perhaps how we relate to you. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. I love that movie. You guys have a good time? That was pretty weak. I don't know, maybe it wasn't that good. All right, let's hear from the naysayers. Any boos? All right. A few of you didn't have a good time, so I apologize for that aspect. Maybe we'll liven it up by taking a little look at the film. I really enjoy this film, and I'm one of those few guys blessed with a wife who can enjoy sci-fi, so I don't sit alone on sci-fi nights. So I actually get to have a good time, but I don't know, I found a lot of things really, really curious about this film. I think Joss Whedon is a very interesting director and storyteller. I think that he has hits and misses. I think this was a hit. And one thing that people have always said that Joss Whedon does well is really capturing teen angst. And even though Mal is a little past his teens, some critics actually refer to this very much that his character, Malcolm Reynolds, is very much just the teen. He's struggling with relationships, he's struggling with purpose, he's struggling with direction. I don't think this is solely relegated to teens, so I think that it serves much more than just the traditional teen angst. I think that, like Mal, sometimes we all do feel as though we've lost direction, we've lost purpose, some of that youthful idealism. In Malcolm Reynolds' case, for those who've watched Firefly and know kind of the context of the whole series, he was part of a civil war, and when he was in the war, he had direction, he had purpose. They allude to this in the film and bring it out to some degree, but he had a cause, he had a mission. He thought he knew what was right, and he was headed in that direction, and now he's totally adrift. He uses the two, he says, I look out for me and mine. I'm just going to look out for myself, anybody who I consider to be in my little core circle. I think some of us have gotten to that cynical place in our lives. Sometimes and occasionally we lapse back into this, even if you don't think you're there all the time. It's very, very easy to get to that place where it's just like, screw everybody else, screw you guys, I'm going home, and then just sort of like abdicate any sort of hospitality, fellowship, reaching out to those around you. I mean, this is why a lot of people flee the city and even the suburbs. They try to carve out some great place where they can hide from all the problems and the sickness and the sin and just get away from it all. Problem is, you're really all like me, and if you actually try to go somewhere to get away from that, from all that, the problem is I brought me with me. Right? You can never quite get away from it all. And so Mal is even wrestling with his own issues, his own morality. He shoots the guy and winds up being troubled about that. He's making these strange decisions. He's the cynic. He doesn't think that we can remedy the problems of the world. He's very disillusioned. He's become the cynic, very jaded. He's sort of the antithesis. At the beginning of the movie, he's the antithesis of the Alliance, right? Because the Alliance thinks it can solve everything. In fact, it thinks it's going to do what even Dr. Jekyll was unable to do. I think they're just going to like excise all of sin from with it. But as humans, we're just going to remedy our own wicked condition. Curious thing about this film, it's not very PC to use that term. I love the fact that it just dealt with sin and called it sin. It's pretty interesting. Usually we call it things like, antisocial behavior, or we call it immorality. Or even now in light of, Lord of the Rings films and some of the even political and war turmoil that we've experienced, we now use the term evil. We rarely go to sin. That's a pretty Christian word. And I'm sure Joss Whedon's struggling with the way he views the church, and maybe his parliament is a shot at the church. I don't know. But dealing with sin and thinking that by human ingenuity we're going to somehow rid ourselves of that part of our being, then it's the height of arrogance. I'm not saying that we can't do things to mitigate against bad behavior. I'm not saying that we can't try to discipline ourselves and create social order. But I think there's part of us that all knows at the end of the day, just like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, when we actually try to, and if we actually think we're going to accomplish it all on our own, we actually, in this case, in this film, what happens when they actually try to completely cure the human? They exacerbate the evil and cause something like the Reavers, and everybody else just dies. So we have sort of the guy adrift, and then we have the very arrogant opposition. I think it's kind of an interesting contrast that begins, and I like the fact that early on he asks River, "Do you know your part in this?" And he's just referring to their latest caper. And she says back to him, "Do you know yours?" And she's asking something very profound, which, of course, with Mal just sails right over his head. Do you understand your part in the world? Do you understand your part as a human being? Do you understand what you were born or destined or created to do? It's that eternal question that she kind of pops out there. See, the problem is that Mal doesn't believe in anything. And they get into that in the film, too. I thought that was a very, very interesting part of the film as well. He doesn't believe in anything. In fact, there's even a little bit of reverence given to the operative. The reason he's so powerful, the reason he's able to accomplish his goals is because he believes so strongly in what he believes in. He believes it so strongly, he's so devoted, that's what gives him his power. So the first time they fight, Mal fails miserably. You know, this is the problem. And the operative, he thinks he's going to rid the world of sin. He thinks that somehow he's going to participate in this endeavor and that by human achievement, he's going to help bring about the end of sin as perfection of the human. Now, are we that arrogant? That's a good topic right there. Do we really believe we're going to ascend to some plane on our own, by our own merit? As a Christian, I don't believe that. As a Christian, I believe like John the Baptist believes. When he saw Jesus walking over the hill, and he's about to dunk him, and he just sees Jesus, and he says, "Whoa, the Lamb of God is going to take the sins of the world away." You know, he knew that we needed something outside. He knew that we needed something outside of man, that we, ultimately we're broken. We're kind of broken. You don't make a broken robot to fix broken robots. You know, you don't create something that's broken and then expect it to fix something. Something has to come in and fix it, something above, something transcendent. I actually got a chance to talk with the director of a movie out now called The Promise, Chen Kage. He's from China. I met him at the Hotel Monaco downtown Seattle, and I asked him. I was like, you know, in his story, he's wrestling with man's will and fate and destiny and how those correspond, what we can do. And I asked him. I said, well, this female character in the film, she's unable to change her destiny unless this sort of transcendent hero comes and saves her. It's like, do you think that's kind of where we're all stuck? Do we need help? Do we need something other than ourselves to save us? I don't know where this guy's at with his spirituality, but he said, yeah. I don't think that we can get beyond or escape our fate in and of ourselves. We need help. We need something that is going to help us. And yet the Alliance, they're arrogant. So we have Mal, who's suffering from cynicism. He's sort of cast away any sort of belief. And we have the Alliance, who believes that they can do something, but their belief is wrong. And so the whole film spirals down into this issue of belief. And as the Shepherd book lays there dying, he grabs Malcolm Reynolds by the lapels, and he says something which sadly I don't think is profound when it comes to last words. He actually looks at him and he tells him, "I don't care what you believe, just believe it. Just believe something." I don't think even within the internal logic of the film that this holds up when you think about that. I think it's supposed to be one of the more poignant statements in the film, and I don't think it holds up. Because who else believes in something? Right? The operative believes in something. Now, is it enough to believe in something? This is a very Eastern tradition. It's a very Eastern thought. That is what you must do. If you watch a lot of Eastern cinema or read a lot of Eastern literature or even read some of the wisdom that comes from some of the religious traditions over there, what you'll often find is that in many of those traditions, it's just this idea that our devotion to an ideal is what gives us worth. It doesn't matter what that ideal is, it's the fact that we latch onto it and how devoted we are to it. That is what gives us purpose and meaning. It's very much now the pluralist thought that actually works in the West a lot too, where it's like, it's all the journey, not the destination that matters, it's the journey that's important. Is that it? Even within the film, that doesn't really hold up, because the operative's wrong, and his belief is faulty, and he's been believing lies, and he's actually confronted with that. So I have a problem with Shepherd's sort of the way he waters down. It's not necessarily believing in God. Just believe in something. Devote yourself to something. Now, we do see when Mal devotes himself to something, he becomes a considerably better man. There is something to that, but is belief enough? It matters. Belief is not enough. You know, belief is important, but truth is also important. And the film does give us that, too. It does give us, you know, they discover something. They discover the truth. And I love it when he shows it to the operative, and the operative is just sitting there wide-eyed and choking. Now, in the book of John, Jesus talks to the disciples, and he says, if you believe my teaching, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is a bizarre statement to them. They kind of look at Jesus, and they're like, what are you talking about? Set us free. They're not quite on the board with the plan yet. They don't quite get it. You know, the truth is important. The truth sets us free. It is important to believe, but we better believe in the right thing, and that truth can set us free. And we see the operative at the end of the film perhaps has been amazingly transformed by this. His whole world has been reshaped because he's seen the truth. Because what he believed was lies, and now he believes the truth. I think the film also plays an interesting role, and it really challenges. I think a lot of us use the word belief. I think you could walk away from this film with some pithy statements about belief. But when people believe in this film, what does it necessarily mandate? When Mal believes, he becomes a man of action. And the operative, although we definitely would not agree with all of his tactics by any stretch, they both become zealous and they both act on those beliefs. So a lot of times we talk about belief. It's very PC to talk about belief in the United States now. I have my beliefs, you have your beliefs. As long as we don't actually talk about them, and as long as you don't actually try to tell me that yours are right, as long as we just sort of keep them inside and never discuss it and never challenge one another and never actually deal with those beliefs and don't actually live out what those beliefs, what comes with them, what they mandate necessarily, well, then it's okay. As long as we don't speak about it, you can believe whatever you want. Well, that's not really belief. If I believe, like even the characters in this film, they believe that message is true, and they believe it needs to be heard, so they will do anything. They're finally joined together, really, as a family, a community on a mission for the first time, and they set out in a way they never have before with confidence and with this bold, death-defying leap. They're willing to sacrifice their lives. Some of them die to get this message out, to say what they have now discovered the truth, and they will do anything to make that truth known. True belief manifests as action. It's a necessary part of belief. It flies in the face of some of the ways we talk about having beliefs here in our culture. Both the operative and the crew of Serenity, they both demand to be heard, even fight, and even face death. Now the difference is, one of them's right, and one of them's wrong. That's something we also don't like to talk about when it comes to belief. And so they do. I love the ending. The crew of the Serenity, they actually become Joss Whedon's very stereotypical made family. You know, the shepherd, as he's dying, says, I'm not one of your crew. Malcolm says, yes, you are. And he even includes River and Simon in as part of his crew, that they bond in a way as family never before because they're united by this mission. And they take this mission to bring the truth to the world because it must be told. The truth must out. And I love that. I think it's funny. It's very, very funny to me because I think about Joss Whedon and I think about these stories recurring again and again, and I wonder if he has it. Like, I wonder about a guy who writes story after story about this. Is it because he has that type of family and he really wants to just put it out there to tell others what they need? Or does... I know a lot of artists. I know a lot of writers. They often write out of a yearning for it. They often write and depict the things that secretly they yearn for. Which means Joss Whedon would like to be in the 26th century and have some guns and ride around on air cars. But in addition to that, the guy also, perhaps either he has or he's yearning for this family. I suspect he's yearning for this family. And to be honest, what I think Joss Whedon really wants to be is what he really was longing for is the church. Those of you that are part of this church, you know that's what we're about. We're bound together by a common story. We're bound together by something, by truth that we believe has been revealed to us, me as a Christian. That I know Jesus, that he declares himself to be truth, that he declares his message to be exclusive, and he demands that it be heard, and that he's commissioned me. We talk about the Great Commission, that I have a mission. And I have a family, and I'm a part of that family, bound together by God's Word, bound together by the Holy Spirit, commissioned by Jesus, and honestly trying to bring the truth of God to people around me who don't know it, who are either very, very, very hostile to it, or just totally blind and don't want to see it. So there's... I look at this ragtag team, and I even think about the original disciples, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. They didn't have a lot of reason to hang out together, most of them. In fact, by the time you get to Paul, the apostle Paul, he's almost like the operative. He's out there whacking Christians, and then he encounters Jesus, and he encounters the truth, and it blows him away, and he goes from being a murderer of those people to actually being one of the biggest preachers in the New Testament. It's that story that we have. It's that family that we become as part of the church as Christians. That we know Jesus. So we don't have to wallow in emptiness and kind of a lack of direction. Even as Christians, sometimes we fall into that. When we look around, we see the sin and we see suffering and we see people in pain and people hurting. And sometimes we forget that the story isn't over. There's going to be a victory, but the story is still in progress. Sometimes even we get that. But in Jesus, we don't have to be in self-pity and defeat, that we have a mission, that we've been given truth, that we can't remedy our own sinful condition. We can try to mitigate sin day by day. Even Paul talks about that too. He's like, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. It's like I keep screwing up. I keep sinning. I keep wanting to do the right thing, do the wrong thing. But that we have a family of believers and we're united in Jesus and we can grow and we can discipline ourselves and we can, by the Holy Spirit, walk away from a lot of that sin, walk away day by day from that sin. Whether we participate in that mission or not, we know the story, there's a happy ending. That the truth is victorious. And so like any good movie where there's an awesome climax and there's a win and the truth gets out, and lives are changed. We celebrate as Christians all the time that same story. This is why we get together and talk about movies like this, because even some weird sci-fi movie can touch on these themes, can touch on these ideas. That there is a true story, that there is a true hope. And that's our mission to get it out there. I hope you guys get this. I hope particularly those of you who are Christians and looking to incorporate as a Christian, we're always on mission. We're always trying to see these things in people who are telling stories, people who are looking for a story, people who are trying to understand themselves and the world and why there is sin and why there is evil. And if there is any hope or if life is just meaningless and we should sort of drift around. Hopefully you guys can spend the next half hour or so just hanging out and discussing it with yourselves. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you. God, I thank you that, very personally, God, that you showed me truth when I was pretty empty. That I was doing all the wrong things. I was hurting people. And God, I was a wicked man. God, I thank you for your truth, and I thank you for a mission. I thank you for a story, and I thank you for a true story. A true story that can change lives, that can open eyes, that can make us come together in a way that even blood does not bind us by. That I can have true family and true relationship. And it is not even just a stagnant community floating around, but a community with a singular mission. That we can continue in a very beautiful narrative way to join and participate in a very heroic story as we try to bring truth to those who don't know you and don't oppose you, and those who hate you and oftentimes hate others. God, I thank you for a chance just to worship together. God, that watching a film, watching a story can be worship. Whether the person who made the story even knows you or not, God, that those who are in you can enjoy this time and know that you are with us and that you can open our eyes to interesting things, even in ways that we don't expect. We thank you for all this in your name. Amen.